Welcome to Sources from the Sofa Sports Podcast. We're going to actually have two recordings. We're recording the first part Thursday, right after Thursday Night Football with Aaron. For today, we'll recap Thursday Night Football. It was a fun game. Unfortunately, my team lost, the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was kind of slow in the beginning. This game broke, I think, 20-something quarters straight that Pittsburgh has scored in.
22 quarters.
And they did not score in the first quarter. They did get a field goal in the second. They did miss a field goal in the first and went right, I believe. The weather conditions.
58 yarder. That's a tough kick to make, man.
That's far. And it's cold. So that must
windy
have felt
too.
Like rock.
It was windy at that time.
Yeah, and they were saying like the conditions weren't as bad as what they were anticipating, and then it got bad. So if it wasn't bad in the beginning, it looked kind of cold. I'm here freezing my ass off in 50-degree weather here in San Francisco. And they're in 31-degree weather over there.
Well, they showed 37 degrees at kickoff with temperatures that felt more like 22 with the wind chill.
With the wind chill, yeah.
So, as you mentioned, little light snow flurries throughout the first half, but it picked up in the second half.
Definitely picked up in the second half. And, man, this is where I really love football. I love when the elements are a part of the game. Sometimes it can get ugly and you kind of wish it wasn't part of it because it's just a matter of like who can like have the best footing, who has the better cleats, you know, who can like not slip and slide in the snow. But it was pretty cool to see. So everyone that I talked to was saying, oh, this is going to be a guaranteed win for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I didn't think so. I actually had the Browns most likely winning in this one. That was my lead at least. And then once I saw that pregame speech from Jameis Winston, I don't know. It kind of locked it in for me. I was like, maybe we could steal this away. He was pretty happy about playing in the snow. It's a divisional game. It's a rah, rah, rah. Chubb is back, right? Everyone's being happy that Chubb is back. He had a good game, 2 touchdowns. Had the winning score. And then Cleveland dominated in the second quarter. Went up 10-3. It wasn't looking too good. Couple more field goals from the Steelers. The fourth quarter was exciting, back and forth. Cleveland was up, and then Pittsburgh answered back with a nice catch in the end zone.
Is that Calvin Austin?
I think it was Calvin Austin.
Yeah.
That's right, because Pickens could have had a catch, but he lost the ball in the air. Lots of things to uncover there. What do you think about the game?
I mean, Pittsburgh came out, first drive, moved the ball. I think Russell Wilson got a sack there, kind of knocked him out of field goal range. They kicked the 58-yarder, but like you mentioned, it was wide right, 20-mile-per-hour gust of winds. Cleveland, the first two drives of the game were 3 and out. Pittsburgh then came back, got a field goal, went up 3-0, and then they went on that 80-yard drive. Cleveland to take that 7-3 lead, and like you said, kind of controlled the ball the second quarter.
Yeah,
got the run game going. Jameis felt pretty comfortable. Third quarter, kind of similar. I mean, Pittsburgh just seemed to be moving the ball, but as soon as they got across midfield, would make a penalty or get sack or
it was a lot of penalties in this game. A lot of especially on the left side, the left guard, the left tackle on the offensive line.
Myles Garrett that first half tore it up with 3 sacks. He was controlling the game.
He did, and I think they kind of got everyone on edge. Probably the shakiest I've seen the offensive line so far for the Steelers. It's a divisional game, though. Browns, if you guys have not known, they've been pretty dominant against the Steelers at home. And then it's a Thursday night game. Steelers have not played well on Thursday night games ever. If this was Eberflus, people were saying, get him fired. But it's Tomlin, so he has a little...
I mean, credit to Pittsburgh. You just played against your number one division rival in Baltimore on Sunday, a physical game. And then you have another turnaround against a division rival that's 2-8, now 3-8. Let's not forget, Cleveland's two of their three wins are against none other than the top teams in that conference division.
Yeah, Baltimore
and Steelers.
Pittsburgh
and Baltimore.
Yeah.
And Jameis Winston looked great in both of those games.
He did. I'm a Jameis Winston fan. Feel like he's always got the raw end of the deal wherever he's been, especially with the Buccaneers. pretty crazy. I mean, 30 year, what was it? 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. Hasn't really got a chance since then.
5,100 yards passing. Yeah, you know, Bruce Arians throws him under the bus for a TB12 program.
Yeah, and you know, fair, right? That's fair. But yeah, you know, he's looked kind of decent. At least the Browns look alive ever since he's been under center, and the masseuse mama, Deshaun Watson, has been out since that Achilles injury.
Well, yeah, I mean, Rome, I know you were calling for it, and I was on the bandwagon, pulled, you know, Watson back in like week 4.
Oh, yeah.
Know? The team was done. You know, they weren't going anywhere. Finally, the Achilles injury took care of that. And since, you know, Famous Jameis has come in, they're 2-2 with them.
Famous Jameis. That's such a cool nickname. The game was pretty equal up and down, stat-wise, you know, slight edge to the Steelers. Russell Wilson actually had a bounce back game from last week, 21-for-28, 270, one touchdown. They even used Fields a couple times. He had a nice little 30-yard run. Was that in the third quarter?
Yeah, late third quarter. Yeah. Late third, early fourth. Got Pittsburgh going because they were at the time down 18-6.
Yeah, they're a little dead. They kind of got some energy from that, and then all of a sudden Wilson had the, you know, finished that drive, but yeah, tough divisional game. I'm not really sure what to take from this. I know the Steelers have like a tough road till the end of the year. I figured if they go 500, they're going to be in pretty good shape. That would put them at 11 wins. And that's what I kind of think that's where they'll end up, because it's a tough schedule when you look at it.
It is real tough. I mean, you got the Bengals twice. They get the Browns back at home. They're going to get revenge there.
In 2 weeks for sure, yeah.
That Eagles game is a real questioning game on their schedule, and they get Kansas City at home too. That is a Netflix special. So, and we know how those have been going. So,
yeah, you know, if they win 3 of these games out of the next 6, that's about right. You know, that's.
I think
I would be really happy.
Yeah, I mean, 11's not bad. You just got to think what is. I mean, that's great for them. You got to hope the Chargers maybe beat Baltimore to keep them off your ass, and so you can clinch that division and at least a home playoff game.
Yeah, let's check out Baltimore's schedule real quick.
Let me pull it up here.
Because this is going to get interesting here.
It's
interesting,
too.
They got the Chargers this Monday. Oh, yeah, the Harbaugh Bowl. All right, you should go to that game, dude. Monday night?
Monday night.
L.A.? Get some tacos afterwards, a little hot dog. I don't know which way that one's going to go. That's going to be pretty tough. You got the Ravens, Eagles. That's another tough one. Don't know which way that's going to go. Giants. That's a victory. Steelers. They split these things.
I expect them to split.
So you got to imagine they'll win. If they lose, I'll be kind of surprised, but they'll be at home. They got the Texans. They're at Texas. On Christmas Day, that's going to be tough, dude. That's a tough game. They're with the Steelers on the doubleheader, and then the Browns.
To me, they're 3-3, 4-2, maybe, which puts them at 10-11 wins.
The same thing.
Depending on what happens with the Charger game. That's the big one.
Yeah, these can also be split as well. The only big guarantee, if there is a guarantee, is the Giants, really, unless Tommy Cutlets just goes off. The Ravens' defense is not that good, so...
It's not, but
that's the Achilles heel of that team.
DeVito's only penciled in for one sure start as of right now, according to Giant sources. So we'll see.
Oh, really? Who would be the other one?
Is it Drew Lock? Drew Lock's over there as a quarterback.
Well,
I believe
Drew Lock was number two, but they kind of gave the shaft. Dude. They went straight to QB number 3.
They're giving QB 3 a shot. He's bringing the 12-inch salami, and we'll see what happens from there.
The 12-inch salami. That's fucking great. It's a gabagool. You know, a little soprano reference. Yeah, so I don't know. That's definitely a toss-up, yeah. Giants, they'll split. Maybe the Browns, yeah. 4-2, 3-3, same thing, so you're right. Yeah, you know. I think that's all I have to talk about the game. Jameis, really impressive, really happy. Game-winning drive. He was pretty composed. Nice 2-point conversion. It was just a fun game, fun Thursday night game. It is what it is. Steelers actually played pretty decent for a Thursday night game. They had a chance to win it, and they didn't. It's all good. Kind of poor clock management in the end, but that's the NFL, right?
Yeah, I mean, Tomlin, the only thing to question maybe was accepting that penalty at the end of the game.
Yeah,
it could have been fourth and two. He accepts it after discussion with the referee to make it third and seven. The next play, they get the first down. Winston hits Judy for about 10-yard pickup on an out route there, and then they go in and score. I would have left it at fourth and two. Put the pressure on them, bring a blitz, see if they can convert. Instead, you're giving them two plays to get 7 yards, and that cost them.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing because I guess it wasn't a loss of downs. No one knows the rules anymore. Yeah. So we'll do the rest. We'll do the NFL lines with Jason later on. I guess that means that we'll just do college football. Week 13, right?
Week 13, man. Winding down.
Week 13. Before we get into that, there was a lot of news today. Lots of recruitments, lots of signings, at least, you know, commitments. Colorado picked up a really big one. Number one quarterback in the country from Michigan committed to Michigan University. Flip-flopped from LSU.
Yeah, I saw
that. That's a big pickup. Big pickup from
a lot of quarterbacks flip-flopping this week, man.
Pretty wild. Then USC's commit. I think he was like in the top 30 or so.
He was a 5-star.
Committed to Colorado. That's a big pickup. Like if you're Sanders, you know all these stories about him going to the NFL. You got to imagine like, okay, now you got like a new. That's a big pickup. Like why?
It's a nice pickup, man. I mean, yeah. Definitely. Colorado has really been doing their work through the transfer portal.
Now they're getting commitments.
Now they got a 5-star quarterback coming in.
That's huge.
That means skilled players and other people are going to come in too. So that's big for Colorado.
Well, that means the program is now transitioning into becoming a prominent program again. It's not just like some mirage, you know. That's a really big signing. So if Deion stays, he might be building something pretty special there.
I mean, Deion's only leaving if it's for the NFL. Whether or not he does or not, I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to see how the season finishes out, what the draft order is, and you know who's running the pony up. Right now, Deion's making about $6 million at Colorado. He probably can renegotiate and get $8.5-$9 million if he really wants. Colorado will pony up the cash now.
He doesn't need it. I have some Ravens fans message me on fucking Instagram. All you guys can go fuck yourselves, okay? I already knew my team was going to lose. You're not going to scare me, okay? I already have these losses factored in. I'm not some delusional fan, so take it somewhere else. All right.
You know, if you look at the Steelers, Rome, going back to them, they've got 3 losses this year.
Uh-huh.
To the Browns, a 3-win team. The Cowboys a 3-win team.
Jesus. And the Titans, or the Colts.
Was it the Colts?
Was it the Titans or the Colts?
It wasn't the Titans.
God damn it.
I gotta look it up. I don't remember because it was early in the year.
Yeah. Let me...
I think it was Joe Flacco that beat him, right? He came in and snagged a win from him?
Yeah, it was the Colts.
Yeah.
Yeah, came
the
in.
Old, the old Raven guy and Brown guy of all people.
Yeah, that was a good game.
That was back in week 4 after that big win over the Chargers in week 3.
They were all winnable games. Steelers came back to almost take that away from the Colts. Same thing with the Cowboys.
Cowboys was the last second to Dak Prescott in the end zone. After Tomlin, we talked about management of clock. There was burning timeouts.
Yeah, these Steelers, they're not good against the bottom seller of the NFL. Like, they will fucking make it look like a dogfight. And then they come out to play against, you know, some of the better teams in the NFL. So it's fucking weird. That's why people don't like Tomlin. That's why they asked for him to, you know, be out of there. But as I text you guys earlier today about coaches winning, you know, winning percentages in one possession games, Jason talked about this because Eberflus is 5 for 17, which granted, it's a very small sample size compared to everyone else. But number one in one possession games is Tomlin. 197 wins and 68 losses. That's most in the NFL by active coaches. Next is LaFleur at 32-21, and then McCarthy at 73-65, which is pretty fucking good. Bottom five, you have Eberflus at 5-17, which if you double up, if he goes 500 like in like the next 15 games, he's right there with Taylor. He's right there with Peterson. So small sample size still for Eberflus in like a coach's perspective. Taylor, second to last at 21-32. Peterson, 32-43. And then Shanahan, which, you know, I voiced my concerns about Shanahan many times, not only when we had our pod, but off there, and, you know, just us bullshitting, but he's there at 29-33. Funny that they're all on my coach's hot seat list.
Three of the names I agree with. But Kyle Shanahan took over a bad 49ers team, what, 7-8 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he had that crazy stat that ended last year where he was 0-30 in games in which he trailed by 10 points or more. That finally ended fourth last quarter. Year where they won not one, but two playoff games, ironically, with that. So
you can find stats to justify anyone to get fired, you know.
There's so many crazy stats out there. There's that Mahomes stat when he's down 10-0 in games, he's like 12-0 career. But if he gets down by more than 10-0 in a game, he's below 500. It's just crazy, crazy stuff.
It's crazy stuff. Cool. Let's go to your games for week 13, Aaron.
Let's do it, man.
Let me pull it up right here real quick. I feel like I'm turning into an old man. I'm starting to squint at my phone.
It's late night too, man.
It's late and I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
I had a good workout today.
That's good.
I need to eat more. I need more protein. More protein, bro. All right. You got number 13, SMU, -9.5 against Virginia, 57.5 over under.
Yeah, SMU right now undefeated in the ACC conference with two games left in the conference play to play. Every game going forward for them is big right now. They need to continue to win with Miami behind them and Clemson. If SMU wants any chance at the playoff, this game they need to win. So Virginia on the road. Virginia's a 500 team at best. But, you know, they're going to give them their best and try to get them out of there. SMU maybe looking ahead. Could be looking at a possible upset here if they don't have their head on right and could knock themselves out of an ACC conference championship game.
Very interesting. By the way, I did not know GT was playing today. Saw at the gym.
Was it college hoops or football?
Football.
Well, yeah, remember there's crazy games Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, college football.
And they barely won 30-29 against NC State.
Yeah, I see it right now.
It was
now.
Pretty close when I was watching it.
Yeah, 30-29 the final.
Man. So weird they can upset really good teams and you play.
Well, one of their main quarterbacks is still kind of banged up, so.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a go.
7-4, though. Good
game-winning drive, yeah. 7-4. Really good 7-4. Number 16, Colorado. -3 against Kansas.
Rome. I've been praising Kansas for this past month.
Yeah.
I said the best 2-6 team in the country.
Yep.
Best 3-6 team in the country. And now I'm telling you the best 4-6 in the team in the country. And I'm taking an upset Colorado. I'm putting Colorado on upset alert. I like Kansas at home to beat Colorado. And I know Colorado's got all this momentum. We just talked about them flipping a 5-star recruit from USC. But Kansas, the Jayhawks, Rothschild Jayhawk, beat the Colorado Buffaloes on Saturday.
Okay. Is that a guarantee?
Guarantee it, man.
Guarantee. Yeah, you're not the only one. I'm kind of hearing rumblings that this is a game that Colorado could slip up. So be careful, Buffaloes. Number 9, Mississippi, -11 against Florida, 55.5. Florida Gators have looked dead in the water all season long. Woke up last week with a big upset against LSU. What's the 401?
Yeah, I mean, Florida's been playing a lot better with Lagway back there at quarterback. They gave Georgia a run for their money. He got hurt, the hamstring injury, turned that game around. Georgia came back, rallied in the second half. He wasn't there for the game against Texas. They got blown out. Did not look good for Florida. As you just said, back home at the Swamp, they beat LSU. Here comes Mississippi off a bye with a huge win over Georgia, primed to make the playoff. Will they slip up at the Swamp? I don't think they do, but this game's going to be a tight one. Mississippi's going to have to really battle to get this win. I think they do. They got better players. Their defense will step up. This is going to be a good game in Florida.
It should be pretty good, pretty tough. And Lane Kiffin's pretty familiar with playing in Florida as well.
Rumored early in the year, possibly be up for that job if Billy Napier was going to get canned. But the AD from Florida came out 2 weeks ago and assured us that Napier was going to be back. And I think he should be. Florida's really responded here in the last month and a half under his leadership.
Yeah, you got to look at the way team ends the season. They're looking strong. Wisconsin, oh, man, plus 1.5 against Nebraska, 42.5 over under. This is a must win for Nebraska season, isn't it?
It's a must win at home. You get Wisconsin. Both teams are 5-5, so the winner of this game is bowl eligible. We've talked about it. What Nebraska hasn't been bowl eligible since 2016. That's the longest current streak of any Power Four conference team. 7 consecutive years without a bowl. They end that. They beat Wisconsin and become bowl eligible. And that, I will definitely, definitely double guarantee it.
Yeah, double guarantee.
I guarantee it. Nebraska wins on Saturday.
All right. Number 5, Indiana. Lots of discussions whether they're legit or not. The strength of schedule is not up there. Granted, though, Georgia and some other schools in the past year or two have had not as strong of a schedule as well. No one said a fucking word. It's all about the branding. That's like one of the things about the NCAA. That's still going on. They're the new kids on the block, so I totally get it. But this is big, right? This playoff implications, plus 12 for them against Ohio State, 51.5 over under.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State, 12-point favorite at home. Obviously, the winner of this game's going to get to the Big Ten championship game to face Oregon. And playoff implications for sure. Because Indiana, are they in? They get blown out or not? Who knows? News broke earlier today that Ohio State's starting center
is out
for the remainder of the year.
Big loss.
And this line was like 9 early in the week Monday. It's up to 12. I'm leaning towards Indiana covering the 12. Everybody's kind of writing them off. They're going to put up a fight here. This ain't going to be a cakewalk. You don't go 11-0. I know their schedule's been a little soft. But they've beaten everybody in the Big Ten. They beat everybody non-conference. I really got on the Indiana train when I saw them beat up your Bruins early in the year. So that's what really brought me to the attention. I think they dropped a 47-burger on them. Ohio State wins, but this is going to be a close one. And both these teams will be in the playoff when it's all said and done.
Yeah, not a lot of respect given to Indiana. And their head coach just signed a new contract, right?
8-year, $64 million deal.
Good money. So we'll see if they're going to stay there or if they're there to stay. Long run. Number 14, BYU. Plus 3 against number 21, Arizona State, 48.5.
BYU, man. That was a bad loss against Kansas at home late Saturday night. Now they go into the desert to play the Sun Devils. Arizona State's going to win this game. And Arizona State's going to sneak themselves into the Big 12 championship conference game. I like Arizona State to finish off BYU and bring them young. No more, man. They'll be done.
Wow. Yeah. USC. This is the game that LA looks forward to. -4.5 against UCLA. Is it already this game? Like already?
It's already here, man.
Man. Okay. UCLA. At home, 51.5.
Yeah, big game for UCLA. They need to win these final two games to get bowl eligible. USC's at 5-5. They need to win one of their final two games. Ironically, they have UCLA this week, followed by Notre Dame.
Ooh.
So the path to get that 6th win looks easier of UCLA, but this one's on the road. The Trojans have not played well on the road this year. I'm not even sure they have a road win right now. I'd have to read back, go look that up, but UCLA's been playing well. I know they slipped up at Washington, but we called that one. It's tough to go in there in Washington and beat them. Washington's 6-0 this year at home.
I can't tell who's a better team, actually, because UCLA's been has had a nice second half. USC's been all over the map, really inconsistent. I would imagine I like UCLA's chances, but then USC to kind of show up against Notre Dame, because that's more like a – they got to show up for one of these rivalries.
I would say take UCLA plus the points. 4.5 is a lot of points here.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot of points, man. I mean, USC just made a switch to a quarterback that transferred from UNLV. And he was throwing the ball all over the place against Nebraska. Half those plays could have been intercepted. Instead, they converted them for big plays and touchdowns.
Oh, man.
And USC doesn't make anything look easy, and UCLA's been grinding out victories. So give me the Bruins plus the points. I like the Bruins to cover the 4.5. Not sure if they're going to win, but they'll cover.
Number 19, Army, is being given 14.5 points against number 6, Notre Dame. Jason's Notre Dame, 44.5 over under.
I know Jason's not here, but this is the playoff elimination game.
Most definitely.
The loser's definitely out. I don't care if it's Notre Dame, what they do going forward, they can't afford to lose. They got to win this game. Army, if they win out, they'll be in the playoff. So 14.5. Not sure if I like a side on this one, but 44.5, give me the over. Army's been scoring points. Notre Dame will be able to score points.
They both feels score
like
points.
Feels like a 35-28 shootout game. I like the over here.
I even like it like high 30s, mid-30s, you know?
Yeah.
38, 35, something
it's
like that.
It's going to be some points scored.
14.5, that's a lot of points. I just don't know how good Army is, right?
We really don't.
Indiana's not getting any love. Army's not getting any love. But yet here they are, ranked teams. Like, it's so fucking weird seeing ranked teams gain like this much of a slight from the Vegas odds. None of these rankings make sense.
Well, remember early in the year, Navy, I think it was 3 weeks back, was the hot team. They were getting the same like 12, 13 points against Notre Dame and got blown out. Army's better than Navy.
Hell,
and Army's averaging like 35 points a game.
You got 13th ranked SMU. They're not even getting as much points against an unranked Virginia. 16th Colorado is not getting barely anything against unranked Kansas. You got Mississippi still getting less than this against unranked Florida. This is wild.
This can be a wild game.
Can reach it out. Yeah, I do like the over though on this one. Number 15, Texas A&M -2.5 against Auburn, 46.5 over. Under.
Yeah, Texas A&M basically playing for their playoff hopes. They coming off a bye. Not really sure why they're only a 2.5-point favorite against Auburn. Auburn has a good defense, but Auburn can't score. Texas A&M, 2.5. That's probably my lock of the week if I think any team's going to win this week. 2.5. Give me Texas A&M as they prepare for that big showdown with Texas the following week. That will be possibly a playoff elimination game in itself.
No way. Yeah, I know you guys don't like Texas. You guys are fucking high as hell. But cool, man. Any other games? Like, this is your shortest list, I think. We've gone from 22 games from the beginning of the year, 22 or 24, whatever it was. And this is barely 9 right here.
Yeah, man. It was a squeeze to get these 9 games in. I wasn't thinking about pitting Wisconsin, Nebraska, but I'm like, you know what? Nebraska hasn't been bowl eligible forever. And like I said, guarantee it, they're going to get bowl eligible. So, you know, pitch your mortgage payment on Nebraska this weekend. They're going to get it done in Lincoln. It's going to be a good old party time up there for sure, man.
Cool, man. I dig it. I'm trying to see like what other games might be sticking out that might be like worth watching, but
there'll be some games for sure. The pop up. I think Boise plays this week, but they're like a 30-point favorite, so that's not San Jose State on the watch list.
Not San Jose State. Well, cool, man.
Not them carne asada nachos, you know?
I know, not the carne asada nachos. I do miss having that pop up. Kinda wanna do it again. All right.
Feels like a good weekend dish watching some football.
Yeah, dude, Yeah, you need like a nice like flame grill though, you know, just something about the real fire, getting like a real char in it. Every time I make like a steak on like a pan, it's just not the same for me. And I can never get it like a nice sear like the way they do it at a steakhouse. You know, I'm just like, I'm not going to bother cooking it. Yeah. So, man, that's it. We will take a break, quote unquote. We'll come back with NFL Lions with Jason. All right, so we're back for part two of the podcast, this time with Jason with us. So we're going to go over NFL lines. By the way, Jason, watching Gladiator 2, you recommend it to everyone else listening to the pod to go watch it?
I would say if you're a fan of the first one, I think you got to see it. However, I would say keep your expectations low. But great acting in the movie. All the reviews around Denzel, absolutely true. He was great in it. I think Pedro Pascal was great as well.
Shit, he's in it.
Yeah, he's in it as well, too. So, but yeah, overall acting's great. Story here or there doesn't live up to the original. But
well, the original one was great. I don't know if you got to do a sequel. Like, sequels are always tough, you know? Like hardly ever are they ever better, or they can never match up the first one.
Very tough. I think Godfather Part Two was always the gold standard as being great. Better than the original. For me, the Dark Knight.
I fucking love the Dark Knight.
I mean, that's one of my favorite movies of all time, and it's just Christian so Bale. Yep. So I mean that lives it up for me. So there are some sequels. Empire Strikes Back. If you're a Star Wars person, you know, Star Wars guy, Empire Strikes Back was widely seen as the best of the Star Wars series.
Wait, so, like what number is that one?
Empire Strikes Back is Episode 5, but in the release chronologically, it was the sequel after the original Star Wars, Episode 4, A New Hope. So, but yeah, tough to live up to the original. You know, 30 years or so, or 25 years, whatever it was, since, you know, the original came out. But good watch. Always good going to the movie. Type of movie you would like to see on the big screen.
Nice. So that's good to know. I'm a big Marcus Aurelius guy. All about Stoicism and all the schools of philosophy, which I think we should actually have in our school programs, you know, in the modern day. I think it'd do us a lot of good. I'd like to see us just wipe everything out, start from scratch, kind of like the way they did in the Roman Empire, see what happens. We're all going to die anyways, you know? All right, enough of holiday cheer as we go into Thanksgiving. Football, man. This is kind of a weird weekend for me. What do you guys think?
There's a lot of big lines this week.
There is a lot of big lines. Not to me, like, good anticipated good games.
No, I think we spoke pretty highly last week around the rivalry games and some of the good football we had last week. But this week, not so much.
Yeah, not so much. It's kind of good that we're recording now on Friday because a lot of news came out this morning, especially regarding the 49ers, which we'll get to them momentarily. But let's get it underway then. NFL Lions Week 12. It's Week 12, right?
Week 12.
Week 12. Week 12. I got Tampa Bay Bucks -6 against the New York Giants Sunday morning, over under 41.5. And I like the Bucks in this one. Bye-bye Daniel Jones. It was a fun ride. Kind of feel bad that it didn't work out for him over there. But that heartfelt speech to the team, you know, him getting a chance to play free safety in practice, that was fucking odd. You know, I think it was good that he just bounced out and he can go.
That's the most expensive free safety you're ever going to see in the NFL, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, but yeah. What do you guys think about that, by the way?
I mean, it was about time.
Him getting released?
It was weird that they re-signed him to begin with. I think this entire, Brian Daboll era has been interesting because when they brought him in, I guess it was to fix Daniel Jones, but he's been...
And he did day one.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's been, what you consider him, a bottom third quarterback in the league. And, you know, he has these good running games here or there with his athleticism. But, I mean, there was some wild stat. I don't even remember what it was, but the last time he won a game, like at home at MetLife or something like that, has been...
Yeah, Casey won two of their Super Bowls in between touchdowns.
So just wild stuff like that. So it became apparent this year it's time to move on. I guess releasing him midseason is probably more unconventional than we ever do from a guy that goes from starter to, I think, fourth string to playing free safety in the practice squad to being released. But I mean, if you're him, if you're like, hey, we have no vote of confidence and you can get the release. I love the immediate response on X was really about Jerry Jones had the opportunity to do the funniest thing and just sign this guy and start him on Thanksgiving Day against the Giants or something like that.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I would watch that.
I don't know. There was a lot of callback to the draft I saw online this year when he was drafted between Mel Kiper, Todd McShay. Kiper was like, you know, this guy's a first-round talent. First-round talent, all the reasons why. But Todd McShay, I think, you know, now proven right that the guy has some skills and talent, but he wouldn't have assessed him as first round ready. He was more of a second day pick, probably would have been a reliable backup that potentially you can develop into a potential starter. And I think that's everything we saw in here. So, you know, his future, you know, is he going to go be backup in San Francisco or one of these, you know, other organizations? He's probably not going to be a starter moving forward, but it's time for the Giants to move on.
Time for them to move on, man. They really fucked that thing up. Joe Shane, is that his name? Can't wait to see him next. Yeah, the GM. All right, anyways, Tampa Bay -6, New York Giants 41.5 in New York, MetLife Stadium. They've seen a lot of wins this year. What's going down, guys?
I agree with you. It's Tampa Bay all the way. I can't see the Giants being able to move the ball, even with a new quarterback at this point. Tampa Bay's been able to go up and down the field. Crazy how much this line has moved, I think, since its opening, but I know we've had the Daniel Jones stuff since, but even at -6 you had it at, I'd still go Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
I'd take Tampa Bay too, -6 here. Mike Evans looks like he'll be back. A couple of defensive players returning for Tampa Bay. Neighbors is questionable, but growing. DeVito getting the start. You know, no reason for him to be starting over Drew Lock. The Giants are tanking. They want the first pick in the draft. They're letting it be known. You mentioned the Thursday Thanksgiving game against Dallas. Will anybody even want to score? Are we going to be looking at a 0-0 tie because they just want to get that first spot pick and get Shadeur Sanders?
Well, maybe he's waiting until he clears, you know, waivers because no one wants to pay that contract. So once he clears, maybe they pick him up. That'd be really fun. That'd be really great. Tampa Bay, though, starting to get healthy. I like them in this going down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta had a chance to really put some separation between them and blew a couple games. So could be an interesting
Thank God. My third. Tampa Bay pick is still alive for the division.
I would love to see Tampa Bay get in there. So let's go.
KC, the Chiefs, 10.5 favorites over the Carolina Panthers, 42.5.
I mean, I feel like I'm going to agree with Rome here. I like Carolina at +10.5 in this game. You know, Carolina hasn't been terrible throughout the entire year. I know their record's 3-7, but they've played in some competitive games. And the Chiefs generally are playing super close games, and the offense isn't all that explosive. I know that we scored some points last week against Buffalo, but coming down off that loss, I think the Chiefs still win, but it's going to be closer than 10.5.
I'll lay the 10.5. Kansas City's defense has looked kind of poor the last 2 weeks. They get Bryce Young. They're going to lick their chops. KC's defense comes up big. And I think Pat Mahomes and stuff get it done. Give me the Chiefs 31-13 over the Panthers.
Chiefs 31 what?
31-13 over the Panthers.
All right. Yeah, I don't know, man. This game's ugly. I don't like games that are above 10 points. How well has Carolina's offense been doing lately, though? They've had like a little spark recently with Young, right?
Showing some improvement.
Yeah, one last two games. The last one was the London game versus the Giants. He looked good in the first half and kind of just hung on there in the second half.
Yeah. I don't know. I got KC winning. The over-under is kind of interesting. It's kind of low. I'm just not sure what to think of that. I'm leaning on the under for this one. Leaning Chiefs, but I'm going to stay away from the point spread. Dallas Cowboys visiting the Washington Commanders. Commanders coming off the bye week, right? I believe so. -10.5, 45.5 over under. I got the Commanders all day.
Yeah, a lot of points here, but the Cowboys are just rough right now. I like the Commanders as well, too.
Yeah, I mean, 10 points is a lot of points for a divisional rival game. Brandon Cooks maybe is back for the Cowboys. Give me the Cowboys +10. I think they're going to come out and show some spirit, show some fight. If not, it could be pretty ugly out there, but they're getting some defensive guys back as well. Bland's making his return to that secondary. I think there's going to be a little juice in Dallas. They're going to get Washington in the game, but Jaden Daniels and the crew get it done still. But I like Cowboys +10.
Plus 10, yeah. I'm not really sure about the spread either, but I got the over on this one. New England Patriots versus the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins, 7.5-point favorites, 45.5. Now, I think this is a very tricky game. I'm liking Mac Jones. It seems like everyone else is starting to like Mac Jones. I don't like to like people or things when other people like them, you know? Try to
well,
stay
Mac
away.
Well, Mac Jones plays for the Jaguars.
I'm sorry, not Mac Jones.
Drake May.
You know what? Because we've been talking so much of how like Drake May resembles the Mac Jones, you know, the first, yeah.
He's better, man. The tape's already better.
For sure, yeah. God damn, dude. All right.
I was
thanks, guys.
Let him keep going on the Mac Jones right there, Jason. Just let it keep going.
I was thinking about it, too.
Let it ride.
You guys are assholes. All right.
I corrected you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You get a gold star. Aaron gets a fucking piece of coal for Christmas. I actually like the Patriots to win at the Dolphins. That's my upset this week. And I actually don't think it'll be much of an upset.
I like the Dolphins to win the game. The question is, 7.5 is what you have right now.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriots D has been, you know, fairly good this year, keeping them in some games. But the Dolphins have found something the past couple weeks. They need to win.
That's true.
I just still think the Dolphins win the game. If I'd stay away from it, but if you're telling me I have to pick a points, I'd take the Dolphins still -7.5.
Oh, really? With the points? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. It's Dolphins here, 7.5. I mean, the Patriots gave up 4 touchdowns to Matt Stafford and those weapons on the outside. I think Miami's run game and wide receiver options are better than the Rams. Their O-line's better than the Rams. And they're at home. Miami's been pinning up nearly almost close to 30 points since Tua's came back off the IR. It's going to be tough for the Patriots to keep pace here. Drake May, they just don't have the weapons. I like the Dolphins to cover the 7.5 here, too.
Okay. Got it. Next game, Detroit Lions -7 against the Indianapolis Colts. Over under 49.5. Is this game of the week? This is definitely game of the week running for me.
I don't know. I'd say you got Cardinals Seahawks would be more of a game of the week there.
That's a tough divisional matchup too. You know,
I might be a week late. Last week I said the Lions would win, but I thought I was spectacularly wrong, and Aaron was right that they blew out the Jaguars. I think this is a similar game.
Not even close.
I take the Lions -7.5.
That Jags, we saw that one coming, man. That was
I mean,
good
13
one.
And a half, 14 points is a lot last week. I'm the opposite. I like the Colts to cover here this week. Oh. Lions got some injuries. They just lost their main linebacker. He's out till the end of the year. And Colts can run the ball. It's going to be difficult. Detroit's been really good against the ground game. But you're going to – they make it – what Detroit does is they play a lot of man-to-man coverage. I think Richardson's going to hit some deep bombs in this game. He's going to make it interesting with the power run. Tight game. Lions pull it out. 34-31. I like Detroit. But give me the Colts +7.5 at home.
Wow, 34-31.
It's going to be some points scored, I think, in this one.
I think so, too. Yeah, I got the over on this one for sure. Next game. Just typing this up real quick. Tennessee Titans versus the Houston Texans. Texans favored by 7.5. Over under 40.5.
I like the Texans -8. Just superior team. I think the Texans definitely win the game, but it could be tighter. Tennessee's done some weirder things, but they've given up more than I think a 10-point spread at least the last two games. So Texans.
Yeah, I like the Texans big here. They're getting healthy. Nico Collins is going to get more playing time, only playing about 50% of the snaps coming back from the 4-game injury off the hamstring. Will Anderson's back at D end. They get the starting cornerback back. One of the Titans, Spears, is out with a concussion. It means Tony Pollard's going to have to try to run the ball more. I like the Texans here. I like them big. The knock on them is they haven't blown anybody out. They just blew out Dallas. I think they keep that trend going, and this should be another 20-point win for them at home.
Wow. You think so, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, leaning Texas. Don't trust this point spread, though, or the over-under. Next game, Minnesota Vikings, 3.5-point favorites against Jason's beloved Bears, over-under 39.5.
Man, I hate to do this. It's against all my takes on Matt Eberflus right now, but the past couple games, Vikings offense really hasn't been great, scoring more than 23 points. I don't think they've done since they lost to the Lions like 4 or 5 weeks ago. Bears defense continues to be the strength of this team. I think they keep them under 20 points, and Bears may have found some things offensively. It'll be a tight game, but I'll take the Bears. We have plus 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I like the Bears here in an upset to get a win. Minnesota has not looked good on offense. This is their third straight game on the road. Sam Darnold's a little bit banged up. He didn't give us those turnovers last weekend. I think the Bears get him this week. Agree. They keep him under 20 points. I like the Bears and Caleb Williams to get back in the win column at home as a dog.
You taking the points, Jason? Or just straight up?
I think the Bears straight up win this game.
Or Bears cover.
No, I'll take the Bears to win.
Nice.
I'll take the few extra entertainment purposes currency on that.
Nice. Yeah, for like a lot of the weird games this week, this is one that's been kind of attractive. I did like the way the Bears came out last week, and I think they're going to continue that some more. Vikings are kind of due for a little trip up again. They've been on, what, like a 5-game win streak? 4 or 5 games? Time's up. They've got away with some lucky victories against, I think, Jacksonville. That was an ugly one. I forget who else, but
Indianapolis and Tennessee. So they played the AFC South 3 games in a row.
Yeah, they got lucky to get away with 3 wins in that one. So I'll take the Bears with the points just in case. Denver Broncos -6 against the Las Vegas Raiders, over under 41.5. A lot of these games are 41.5. Go ahead, guys.
I'll let Aaron go first on this one. This is his guy, Sean Payton and Bo Nix right here.
And I'm riding with the Broncos, man. There's nothing I like about the Raiders right now. Both their two top running backs are out for this game. They got 3 of their top 5 corners likely out this week. You get a hot Denver team coming in. Denver's going to look at to stick it to them. Bo Nix, Sean Payton, they'll have a good game plan. Scott North Turner, they've only got 1 game plan. Get it to Brock Bowers. Double team him with a safety. Don't just cover him in linebacker hell. Patrick Surtain wants him one-on-one. The Broncos win here. They'll win by 10 or more points. Give me the Broncos -6.
Yeah, I'll agree with Aaron on that. I think last week was a big week for Bo Nix as far as, you know, offensively, what's some potential that we're able to unlock. Broncos are able to win big in their previous meeting, so I'll agree with Aaron on this one.
I'm leading Broncos, but I think it's going to be a pretty tight game. Just divisional games, the Raiders are at home. I just have a weird feeling about this one. So no justifications, just Raiders tend to do these things, even with how shitty they are. Cardinals, 1-point favorites right now, which is wild, against the Seattle Seahawks, 47.5 over under. This is game of the week number 2 for sure. Who you guys liking? That's Sunday night. Is that Sunday night? No, Sunday afternoon game. My bad.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon. I mean, closest spread of the week. Coin toss game. I'm going to give the edge to Seattle just because they're in Seattle. Yeah.
Seattle's lost 5 games this year. 4 have been at home. They've lost to every divisional opponent at home so far, being the Rams and 49ers. They reversed that trend. I like Seattle to win here. I know Arizona's coming off a bye, but a big win against the 49ers. Seattle's got to get in the win column. I think they figured something out. They've got momentum going. I like Seattle here at home to get the W.
Yeah, the win here is definitely going to put them in the driver's seat for the division to try to keep the 49ers out of the playoffs. This is going to be a stay-away game. I don't know. For me, I'm staying away. I like what the Cardinals are doing. Seahawks woke up last week. You're right, Aaron. They're due for a win at home. But this game's pretty scary, though. This is going to be pretty tough.
You're saying stay it away, so I'll let you stay away. But you've been with Aaron on riding the Seahawks all year. So if you had to pick this game, who are you taking?
I'm leaning actually on the Cardinals.
You know he likes that Murphy guy. You know he likes that
Murphy guy.
Yeah, I would never imagine myself saying that I'm going to lean or favor the Cardinals, but they're just playing really tough football right now. I like what Gannon's got going on over there. So next game, 49ers at the Green Bay Packers. One of the dopest rivalries in the NFL, but we just learned today that Purdy's out. Who else is out?
Nick Bosa.
Bosa's out.
Possible Trent Williams on the offensive line for the 49ers.
And Trent Williams?
He hasn't practiced all week, yeah.
I wasn't sure if he was in or not. And the Packers, they haven't been playing great, but if you're going against a depleted team that has already not been playing good, this is kind of like the perfect rebound game for the Packers, right? To kind of get things back on track for the tail end of the season before they go into the playoffs or alleged playoffs, right? I got Packs in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that, Rome. Just the injury is one thing for the Niners, but the other thing is historically under the Shanahan era, there's been a lot of creativity and they can kind of do anything offensively, but the strength of the team usually is the defense, and the defense has not been, you know, one of their stronger, you know, points this year. And I agree with you. I think the in Lambeau, Jordan Love, you know, didn't look great against the Bears last week, but I think they put it together this week, and I think this is an easy Packers win.
All across the board, cheeseheads, give me the Packers here, man. I liked them regardless of Purdy and Poza. We're going to play Josh Jacobs. You can run the ball in the 49ers. They're not going to get much of a pass rush without Bosa. They don't like the blitz to begin with. If they do, the wideout options that the Packers have are too much. Packers win here by at least a touchdown, if not more.
Yeah, so the season of hell continues for the 49ers. Ravens, -3 against the Chargers in the Hardball Bowl in SoFi Stadium. Over and under 50.5. Man. I'm kind of at a toss-up right now. I don't know which way to go.
Before you do that, did you skip the Sunday night game?
Yeah, he did.
Did I?
Yeah. Eagles Rams.
We can go back to that. Let's do Ravens Chargers first.
Well, I mean, you said many things of the game of the week. This may be the game of the week from a playoff implications in the AFC right now. A loss for the Ravens, you know, not good for them in the chase, you know, for the division against the Steelers, even though the Steelers gave one back this Thursday night. But it's going to get very competitive in that wild card kind of slotting here in the last couple weeks of the season. So this is a pretty important game for both the Ravens and the Chargers. I like the Ravens in this one. I think they need it after this last week. The Chargers got that big win still coming down, but I think John gets the W over Jim.
I'm going to come back to this. I just remembered we went to this game last year, Aaron.
That's correct. Sunday night game.
It was such a good game. Chargers were winning. Ravens came back. Lamar's electric. First time seeing him in person. And the Chargers chargered. And then last week, doesn't look like Chargers are charging anymore. Hardball team, got his team going. They have the better defense. They have a competent enough offense against Ravens have like the most explosive offense, but a really mediocre defense. I'm leading Chargers for this one.
This is an interesting game because you've got the number one run defense, but also the worst pass defense in the Ravens against the overall number one, you know, scoring defense in the Chargers. I think for Baltimore, they got to get back to running the ball.
They
do. Get Henry in between the tackles, run them downhill, run that zone read option with Lamar, get him on the outside. I think the Ravens are going to get back to that. Their defense will make enough plays. I've gone back and forth in this game, but I think John gets a 2-0, little bro. I like the Ravens here.
All right. Back to Sunday Night Football. Eagles -3 against the Rams. back-to-back days in LA. Crazy. 48.5 over under. That's a tough one. Who you guys got?
I'm taking the Eagles in this one. I think Saquon been the MVP of this team and what they've been able to unlock offensively, but also overall, like, Eagles defense, you know, for the most part this year has been pretty locked down. Only allowed 179 points so far season to date. So
it's pretty impressive, actually.
Continue to give the ball to Saquon. This should be an easy Eagles win.
I really, really like the Eagles in this one until Smith got – Devontae Smith was out. I still like the Eagles here. I agree. Saquon Barkley's going to have a big game. That's a young defense for the Rams. I think he'll be able to exploit that through the ground. Brown should have a nice game. The tight end, Goddard. And the Eagles, for me, the most impressive thing during the stretch outside of the run game has been that defense, as Jason mentioned. They're going to get after Stafford. He doesn't have much mobility. That offensive line for the Rams is poor. I like the Eagles here, -3.
Nice. Is that all the games?
It's all the games. I think there's like six bye teams this week.
That is correct.
Hey, pretty chill, huh? I'm trying to see, like, the games are kind of well sprinkled throughout the day, so can't really take an off day either. Good job, NFL. Keeping us glued to our TVs. Yeah, we'll see what happens after this week. Jason, do you want to chime in with like any college football stuff? Talk about your little Notre Dame.
Man, big weekend.
We went over Aaron's games of the week in the earlier segment. I think we talked a little bit at length about Army and Notre Dame. You guys had a pretty big conversation last week about it. How good are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. The running game for Notre Dame, both with Jeremiah Love, but also just from a quarterback perspective, they allow Riley Leonard to get around and run. That's really unlocked them. They, you know, blew out Navy in the last game. I guess they're beating both armed services. They are not the most patriotic team Notre Dame is right now, but I like this game. For Notre Dame, they need it obviously because they got to win out to make the playoff. They're sitting really good right now to probably lock into, you know, that 5 or 6 seed. They're not going to get the first round bye, so I'm feeling good about it.
How are you feeling good about any other games that Aaron picked out or anything else happening in college football?
We talked a ton about Indiana and Ohio State. I saw that's on Garen's games to watch.
Yep.
That's got to be game of the day. You know, it has the most implications. Aaron said it a couple, you know, the past couple of weeks. Indiana doesn't necessarily need to win the game. They just need to keep it close. They keep it close and do the rest of them win out. They're going to be in the playoff. But I don't know. What was Aaron's pick on this? I don't know. Indiana +12.
I like Indiana +12.
All right.
Yeah, we thought like the spread was a little disrespectful. A lot of disrespectful spreads on like a lot of the ranked teams. Pretty interesting. We found that pretty interesting.
But yeah, I mean, when you look at a lot of the different fan bases, I mean, just as the playoff has come out, like everything's about Indiana's. They haven't played anyone. They haven't played anybody. So, you know, this would be the matchup where they actually play somebody, but they've blown everybody out so far that they have played. And so they're playing other D1 programs and blowing people out. There's no one else playing a soft schedule that's blowing people out like they are. So,
you're true. Yeah, true. Any thoughts on Colorado against Kansas?
Man, I mean, I think Aaron was calling this for the upset, right? I think we were alluding to that earlier in the week.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting year for Colorado and Deion because last year, man, the hype was just at an all-time early in the year. And then, you know, they lost and it was kind of there. And now, you know, ranked 16, got a path to win the Big 12 potentially, got a path to be in the playoff. You know, can't have any, you know, missteps here down the stretch. I'm not bold enough to call the upset like Aaron is, but I mean, Kansas has been like the best 3-6 team, the best 4-6 team, and now Aaron's going to say they'd be the best 5-6 team.
Yeah, they passed my UCLA for the best 4-win team, that's for sure. That's what it looks like.
They have.
I don't know.
They have.
people down on Coach Prime. I think this is where Deion. I think they win this game.
I don't know if you heard, Colorado got a really big signing, one of the top quarterbacks in the nation. He pried him away from USC. So lots of cool stuff. That's what we talked a lot about in the previous segment, was a lot about.
Well, you did, because you were excited that Michigan flipped a 5-star from Brian Kelly to Michigan.
I was very excited. Very excited, baby. You know what? Yeah.
I was excited about that one, you know?
Yeah, it's really cool. Well, the most important game, though, you know, it's USC versus UCLA. Let's be real. Jason, who do you got? That's the real question here.
USC.
You can go fuck yourself.
All right. Is that game even going to be televised? What network is that game going to be on?
Probably like only
Fox,
in LA.
Fox Sports West, or?
You would imagine it's probably Fox. Gonna be on Fox. Fox would probably televise that game. They usually
5:30 or 1:30. What time is that? Let me look. What time is that kickoff?
It's usually a 7 o'clock game.
It's usually early afternoon. It used to be when people actually cared about it. Let's see.
Once UCLA started beating up on USC, that's when no one cares about anymore, huh? I see how it is.
It's late night, 7:30 on NBC.
Bing,
NBC.
Bing, bang, bang, bang.
Notre Dame's sister network right there.
Winner, winner, chicken, and dinner.
So USC's getting back-to-back NBC games?
Yeah.
Then UCLA, Notre Dame. Notre Dame.
The Fighting Irish.
Wow.
After that. All right. Cool. That'll do it for lines for this week. We'll see how we do. I wasn't excited about this weekend, but now looking at all the games closer, it's a fun little slate. A bunch of like little things going on here and there. So, should we take a quick break? Do you want to talk about F1 real quick?
Absolutely.
All right, beautiful. Let's take a quick break. We're back to talk a little F1. Formula One, for those that don't know what F1 stands for, as we're all learning together on this one. Me, Aaron. Jason's our professor. Professor J.
Professor Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Just bringing the F1 knowledge here. But yeah, huge race this week. Rome, we spent a couple week break for F1. They were just most recently in Brazil, which was a pretty epic race. We didn't talk much about it, but no. It was in the rain. But for the most part, Max Verstappen kind of locked up the driver's championship at that race. Probably had a generational drive Max did in Brazil, you know, started in the back of the field, 17th, went all the way through the field, pretty risky strategy with the tires in the rain, got an appropriate yellow, took the lead, really never gave it back. And that really much, pretty much clinched his, driver's championship. It could end in Vegas if he gets any closer than 3 points of Lando Norris. He's got, I think it's a 62-point lead or something like that right now. So not that close, but it's going to be an exciting race because Red Bull has been crap so far in practice. We were just talking off air. A lot of conversation that Red Bull brought the wrong rear wing to Vegas and basically couldn't ship it. So a little bit of a smaller wing it looked like, but what it's doing for them is they're just way slower in the straights. And one of the cool things about this Vegas track is that it goes down the strip and it's got one of the longest straightaways on the circuit where these guys really hit some high speeds. And when you're slower there, just doesn't have the overall speed. So we'll see. We are recording this about an hour before they do qualifying here, you know, late night in Vegas, which will really kind of determine a lot where that field's at. But last year's race in Vegas was the first one. Interesting track. There was a lot of passing, and there's still something to race for besides the driver's championship, outside chance that Lando Norris can overtake Max Verstappen, but you got the constructor's championship, but for you guys, that's pretty much the team championship. McLaren's got 593 points. Ferrari has had a really great stretch here in this kind of North and South American tour the last month, and they're at 557 points. Red Bull's dropped down to 544. So you got a three-team race, kind of a two-team, but Ferrari's really putting the pressure on McLaren. So lots to race for here in these final three races. So it's going to be a pretty exciting weekend. My favorite team, because I'm a Lewis Hamilton fan, the seven-time world champion, Mercedes has actually been one of the fastest so far in practice. They pretty much have nothing to race for. They're locked in in the fourth in the constructors. So whatever their purse is, they're pretty much going to get. So they're looking forward to next season. But these are Lewis Hamilton's final three races with Mercedes before he goes to Ferrari last year. But Lewis Hamilton, he's going next year. But Lewis and George Russell and Mercedes have been looking the fastest so far in the first three practices. So it could be interesting. Could be a four-team kind of race here, potentially a lot of passing in this unique Vegas course. So it should be an exciting Saturday night race here in Vegas.
Did you go to the race last year in Vegas, Jason?
I did not.
I got to start using my connections in Vegas more often, man. This is bullshit.
Would like
I know
to
something
the race
like chefs.
There you go. The race sold out. I think it'll be a race I do want to go to. You know, I just went to the British Grand Prix earlier this year, so that was my one pick for the year.
British.
Yeah, so really enjoyed the time at Silverstone there. Out of all the tracks in the Americas, though, the track in Austin is seen as kind of the best track and race experience in Austin for the U.S. Grand Prix there. But Vegas is really interesting just because it's a street course versus the kind of more circuit style track that Austin is. But it could be an exciting race.
Should be pretty exciting. Nice. I will actually watch this. It's on Sunday.
No, it's tomorrow night.
Saturday night, yeah.
Oh, sweet. Fuck yeah.
But like at late night, right?
10 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah.
So pretty much the Formula One schedule revolves around where is it convenient in Britain, because England's kind of the center of Formula One. So you kind of get that kind of set or what's a convenient time there. But
honestly, driving at night in Vegas is so awesome. I love it.
It's a cool look. I think that's what they're going for, because when you look at, you know, even they weren't racing. I want to say it was Wednesday night. I saw a picture on X, someone flying into Vegas, and the way it's lit up, you can see the circuit outlined kind of where things are at. So, you know, it's a pretty cool track and setup they got. I know the Vegas locals hate it. I got people that I know that work in Vegas, and they say this thing doesn't make any money and it doesn't draw. So I don't know the long term, you know, future of this in Vegas, whether it's going to be able to draw enough to keep it there, but Formula One wants it there. And I think just like they do it in these other places like Monaco and stuff. And, you know, this is an event place to be. So
they'll make it work. It kind of looks like a video game. You know, I miss playing it, but I used to play a lot of racing games. I haven't played one in a long time. What the hell's going on?
Someone's racing right now, man.
Someone's racing right there.
Dude, there's been ambulance and fire trucks all day because there's like massive flooding here in the city.
Street circuit in San Francisco would be insane with the hills.
It'd be really cool. It's
wouldn't
only
be
hilly.
Feasible.
It's only hilly where I live. It's just like a small part of the city, right in downtown. But the streets are so small, though.
Yeah.
It'd be like Monaco, right?
I don't know if the hills are that bad, but yeah, it could be. I mean, it depends probably where you put it. So
you could do it if they did it like around the piers, because the streets are pretty wide enough, all the way by Oracle Park. You could always. How many miles does that have to be? Like, how big the track?
All of them are different. You know,
what's like the average size?
I don't know. You know, 2 to 3 miles, maybe.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, it depends what it is. Some, you know, some circuits are different, so I don't know. They've talked Chicago for a potential race at one point here coming up. It's the U.S. has three races, which most countries only have one.
Really?
So, I mean, there was a long time in this country where we just had the one race and barely anyone cared about that. But Formula One's trying to really put a dent in the U.S. So we get the three races now. Tying to that, I will say there was some breaking news. It hasn't broken yet, but it's getting leaked out there. So I'm guessing it's coming that General Motors is actually in talks to finalize having their own F1 team and putting an 11th F1 team on the grid in 2026. So this had long been rumored with former IndyCar star Michael Andretti and his Andretti Global company. They do IndyCars. And he had this partnership lined up with General Motors and Cadillac to do this, but it had always stalled. It passed the FIA, but Formula One was not allowing an 11th team on the grid. But apparently there had been some restructuring at Andretti Global. Michael Andretti actually stepped down as head of Andretti Global a while back. And now all of a sudden kind of was leaking out here in Vegas that Formula One is going to grant Cadillac a team in 2026, which add an 11th team, two more cars onto the grid. And so now you'll have
Cadillac. An American.
Yeah, that's what they're going to call it, but it'll be through General Motors. So, but you'll have, you know, an American based motor company, you know, and going into F1. Ford at the same time is going into Formula One in 2026 too. They're going to be the powertrain supplier for Red Bull. So you're getting a ton of American investment into Formula One here now too.
Nice, man. I like it. I like
Very
it.
Very interesting.
The sources coming through, man. They are coming through, breaking information.
Yeah, Fords are pretty nice to work on. Cadillacs are a whole other story, but
more of a branding thing, I think.
Yeah,
with General Motors,
for sure.
Which,
I was like,
which brand? But it's interesting where, because if you add Cadillac to it, Audi is coming into Formula One in 2026 as
well.
All
for it. I'm a big Audi guy. I fucking love Audis.
So maybe you're doing Audi. They're taking over what's currently the Kick Saber Formula One team. So Audi will be introducing their team here in not next season, the season after. So all the big time manufacturers for car makers are getting into Formula One now.
You got me on board, man. I miss racing. I miss street racing when I was in high school and college. Like, that was the funnest thing. I had a nice little 13-second Honda car. It was fast. Almost got arrested. Ran away from the cops a couple of times. It was good. It was, like, so cool. Like that car culture down there. Right when Fast and Furious is coming out. It's so dumb now looking back, like, all the dumb shit we did. You couldn't even do that anymore.
This guy was talking about doing things at a quarter mile at a time and hitting the NOS button.
Yeah.
I never had a NOS button. I've always
That's
wanted one.
That's probably a good thing. You might not be here speaking if you did.
I had a friend, though, because we used to always work on cars on the weekends, and he was known. I think his name was, like, Sheldon. Black guy named Sheldon. He was known as, like, this guy that had, like, an 11-second car, and he was on the news. Like, it was, like, a meet that I didn't make it. I guess he got caught up in, like, a police thing, and it was on the news. Helicopters were, you know, flying over. His hood just flew off. Like, that car was just too fast for its own good. Everything fell apart. And then there's, like, another time when the police came in. We're all stuck in this warehouse in Ontario, like this quarter mile track in the middle of nowhere, and it's either get arrested and get impounded or unbolt the whole fucking engine, take it out, put another friend's car, and take off. Like, you're better off doing that. And that's what they did on another time. It's like fucking crazy. Oh no. Ah, man, feels so good remembering that stuff. I haven't, I love racing. Yeah, you got me back into it, man. I'm thankful for it.
Well, it's glad to get somebody back into it as I teach you guys here about Formula One. It'll be a very, you know, very exciting end of the season, mostly on the constructor side, not the driver side. But I will say, as we kind of go into the 2025 Formula One season, the last year of the current regulations, pretty much every constructor has maximized kind of the output of their current models. So you're going to get a ton of close races. I think next year is what everyone's expecting. You may have up to 6 to 8 drivers competing for the Drivers' Championship next year on the 4 major teams. So going to be exciting next year, I think, in Formula One.
One thing we're going to have to do in the future, we're going to have to go to the Sonoma racetrack, and you can rent cars and race it at, you know, up there. We're going to have to do that one day. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. All right, cool. That'll do it then. We'll be back on Monday night.
Monday night,
or when you do Tuesday night, because that's going to be the only episode next week with the short week of Thanksgiving.
Let me figure that out. We'll figure that out. Monday.
It could
or
be
Tuesday.
Monday. It could be Monday night. It could be Monday night. We might have to do Tuesday night. We have to do both. Or else we're going to be doing like a 3.5-hour pod.
Yeah, no. Let's not do that. All right, cool. Well, either way, we'll be pumping out a couple episodes next week still, right?
Sounds that way.
Sounds good. All right, take it easy, guys. Peace.